That's pretty strong material. And coming on top of the whole life story. So I think I've given you an idea somewhat of this fantastic book. And I can tell you, the more you're in it, I spent 5 years just undoing it and reading nothing else. But you can't read nothing else. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you have to read to supplement it. It's amazing how many of the words were right in a full dictionary. He uses archaic as well as contemporary and invented language. And the dwelling with it, as I say, you can't experience anything, but it reminds you of Finnegan's Wake. So finally I thought, well, to hell with it, I will start reading something else. And just about that time, my wife decided she was going to do a play based on Finnegan's Wake. She had been touring the country with a solo dance performance for a couple of years, and carried this with her and became so fascinated in the thing, she wanted to do a dance based on it. And then found that she couldn't bear not to have the language, so she had this play with transformations. And it was a new thing in the city. It's remembered as having been an innovation, and started a whole new thing in the off-Broadway style. It's all out of this book. Well, you can see from the condition of this particular volume that it's been of service. I had spent my the better part of my scholar life dealing with mythology. And I knew what the myth forms were, what the cycle was, what he calls in here the monomyth. And so I could anticipate what he was going to say, what he was going to have to say. And it panned out. I read it through first, laughing, not knowing what I was reading. The language is so communicative of its mood that you get some of the message. Some of it is absolutely impenetrable, and intentionally so, as dreams are impenetrable. And then I started systematically reading through chapter by chapter, trying to analyze it. Then I made a outline of the themes, a kind of skeleton outline of the whole thing. When I would come to a blockage, a thing I couldn't do, I'd go to the end and work it back and kind of undo it that way, and then read it through again. And then I started writing the thread of narrative, the main line on each page, and that was the first piece of writing that indicated that Joyce had a form in this thing. If you read Harry Levin's early piece on looking into Finnegan's Wake, he just had it as a spilth, you know, what they called the stream of consciousness, but it's completely constructed. Now, I had already had a head start because in 1927 in Paris I had bought the Transition, where the early version of the first eight chapters had been published. And to give you a notion of the difference, this first line, this first half sentence, river run past Stephen Adams from Swerve Ashore to Bend of Bay, brings us by commodious vehicles of recirculation back to Holt Castle environs. In the Transition version, back in 1927, said, river run brings us back to Holt Castle environs. So you see what's happened. He has taken things from the latter part of the book and inserted them in the first. So a lot of the things that you can't understand when you're reading, you do understand when you come back later, because they belong to the latter part of the book. The whole thing has been tied up in that way. And I think what happened was that Joyce worked on it for 18 years and he didn't realize how complicated it was. Because when you've interpreted a page, you think, well, why didn't I see that in the first place, you know? It was funny, when I married Jean, was just that year this book came out. And then her family was in Hawaii, and she wanted to, we went to Hawaii so they could see what she'd got. And when I said, well, I'm not going at all unless I can take this with me, because I was working on it. So I had a special little bag with this and five dictionaries in it. And I arrive with the family, and then I have to be given a place upstairs where I can go to work on it. Well, we had one of her sisters has a place on the big island that's called Valley Valley, where there's a great big lava field that comes down, and just as it strikes the water, it opens out, and there's a little green patch there with palm trees and so forth. And the only way to get there, now there's a road, was by boat. And then you have to wade ashore or through the waves. I went with this damn book, and I thought, you know, I'll make a big thing of it. And I've never worn a beard, but then comes the war. So we didn't go back for quite a few years. And when I did go back, well, I had met all of the friends, hundreds of people, the family's been there forever. You know, five different people said to me, "You shaved off your beard." Mm-hmm. I never had a beard, but I was a professor. So they remembered me with a beard. Now that's the way archetypes, really, the fact doesn't matter. It's the archetype associated with the fact. Now when the book was published, the reviews were simply disgraceful. They thought it was gobbledygook, that it was a kind of fraud. I mean, can a man write 18 years on just a joke? This is a profound job. Playful. Yeah. There's a kind of hermetic writing where they use very vulgar and gross forms with deep references. That is so you won't become stuck with the form. That's what the sense of this is. This has that kind of thing in it. The book was remaindered within a couple of months. I bought three copies for $1 each. And then when we wrote The Key, they published then the second printing. So I feel there was some connection between what we did and this thing. And since then, there's been a lot of work on it. Of course, all the great scholars, some people have given their whole lives to this thing, all the great scholars really despise The Key, you know, because I could write another one now, but what's the use? But I know they're using it because we're still getting royalties.
You've been listening to Finnegan's Wake, the fifth talk in Series 3, Volume 1 of the Joseph Campbell Audio Collection. This lecture is cataloged in the Joseph Campbell Archive as L1187. This release was produced by Joseph Campbell Foundation as part of the collective works of Joseph Campbell. Robert Walter, Executive Editor, David Cudler, Managing Editor. Additional engineering has been provided by Jimmy Maxwell and Robert Maxwell of JMO Incorporated. Our theme music is by Richard Patterson and Verb Studio. For further information about the works of Joseph Campbell and Joseph Campbell Foundation, please visit us on the World Wide Web at jcf.org. I'm Maura Vaughn. Thank you for listening.